Before I start preaching, there's something I would like to say. Phyllis, you ever start a class that way? Before I start teaching, there's something I want you to really hear. I believe that you can change the world. I believe these young people going to Belize can change the world. Now, the reason I preface that before I start preaching, because if I'd said that in a moment in the sermon, you would say, oh, he's just preaching. But I really believe that. Moses changed the world. We all know that. There's no doubt about that. He led God's people out of bondage in Egypt. He received the Ten Commandments up on Mount Sinai, the basis of our Judeo-Christian culture in which we live. Moses changed the world. But there are not many Moses, are there? The story that Courtney read for us just a moment ago is a story that we all love. And Joyce and I know this last week in Belize, we were talking to the teenagers down there, and we mentioned this story. Listen, they know this story. Children love this story, and what's not to love? Here's a mother that crafts this little basket, and you have a precious little baby, and she puts it out in the water, and here's an older sister that's watching. It's such an adorable, wonderful story. Now, when we teach this story to the children in Belize, the message, as Casey shared with you, the message we want them to hear is that God loves them, God cares for them, and God will protect them. And that's important, especially to children in the third world country. It's important to all of us. But how does God protect his children? Well, he protects his children through us. That's where you and I come in. God wants to use us to care for and to protect the children of the world. See, I want you to think about this. We all know about Moses, but I want you to back up just a little bit. When you get a chance, read that first chapter of Exodus. Courtney read the first 10 verses of the second chapter. Moses would not have been there to change the world if Pharaoh's daughter had not had pity on the child and drew him out of the water and took him to the palace to raise as her own son. And Moses would not have been in that little basket in the river if it had not been for his mother, Jochebed, who had the creativity and the courage to do what she had to do to save her child. And Moses would have lost his identity with the Hebrew people had it not been for a brave and courageous big sister, Miriam. Miriam, who watched at a distance, who just precisely at the right moment went up to the princess and said, "Do you want me to find someone to nurse this baby?" And she goes and brings her own mother, Moses' own mother. And there would not have been a baby for the mother to save and the sister to watch over and the princess to pull out of the water if it had not been for two brave midwives. You know what I'm talking about? You see, mean old King Pharaoh, as my old preacher Cecil the Diesel liked to say, he was a rascal, and he was like many despots. He ruled on the basis of fear rather than establishing family and faith. And so he decides he has to eliminate these people. So he tells the midwives, "This is what I want you to do. When a baby's born, if it's a girl, then okay, let her go. But if it's a boy, kill it right then. Don't let it survive." So there are two midwives. Anybody know their names? Everybody knows the name of Moses. But do you know the names of Shephirah and Puah? Shephirah and Puah are midwives who dared to defy the order of the king. They could not kill little babies. And when the king called them to give account of themselves, they were clever. They said, you know those Hebrew women, I tell you, when we get the word, the baby just poof. I've never seen anybody deliver as fast. We can't get there fast enough to do anything to those babies. That's a little ecstatic embellishment. But if it had not been for the midwives, and it had not been for the mother, and it had not been for the sister, and if it had not been for the princess, there would not be a Moses to change the world. Have you all ever heard of a theory called the butterfly effect? Y'all ever heard of this? This is fascinating. The butterfly effect is a scientific theory that basically says a single occurrence, no matter how small or insignificant, can change the course of the universe forever. It's part of the chaos theory that the sensitive dependence on initial conditions in which a small change in one state of a deterministic nonlinear system can result in large differences in a later state. So now you understand, don't you? Richard Honeycutt understands. I ask him, Richard, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So the reason they call it a butterfly theory is it started back in 1961. There's this mathematician, meteorologist at MIT by the name of Edward Lorenz. And with the advent of computers, this guy who was a mathematician who loved meteorology decided to use computers to try to equate mathematical equations to see if you could predict the weather. And what he came up with was this amazing theory. And one example is if there is a butterfly in Brazil who flaps his wings, it begins a series of events in that nonlinear system that moving those air molecules would result in this and this and this, and ultimately it could result in a tornado in Texas. That's exactly what they did. They said, you're crazy, man. That was in 1961. You know what they're saying now? It's true. It can happen. You watch out for those butterflies in Brazil. Now, I want to tell you this. I'm going to leave the scientific part to Richard. I don't understand that, but I understand this. I understand that we can make a difference in somebody's life, and that person later could make a difference in somebody else's life, and they can make a difference in somebody else's life who eventually can change the world. Every great leader will tell you there was a teacher. There was a scout leader. There was a Sunday school teacher. There was a minister. There was a grandmother. There's somebody who believed in me. There's somebody who didn't give up on me. Now, Phyllis shared with us her latest book. And Phyllis is a gifted writer. Phyllis, I feel like one of your best books is Catch a Falling Star. And we have a copy of this in the library. In fact, it's in the display case. Phyllis chronicles many stories from her educational career when children were falling, when something was taking place in their lives, when we had an educator with Christian compassion who intervened and made a difference in their life. Phyllis, you don't know it, but you probably have changed the world. For all of you that are educators, when you make a difference in a child's life, they can go on and change the world. You see, what we're doing in Belize is we're going down there and we're touching the lives of these children and these young people. And I want to tell you, they will never forget it. Joyce and I were amazed. They not only remembered Courtney Bible School 2 years ago and 4 years ago, They remembered the themes. They remembered the songs. They remembered the people. They don't forget. But all of us can touch the life of someone else. And that's why we're asking you to touch the lives of our young people, to give them the opportunity to go to this third world country. When they come back, they're going to see the world differently. They're going to know that we're part of a greater community. And you never know when one of these young people may one day change the world. We all know about Moses, but there was the princess, there was the mother, there was the sister, and there were the midwives. And they were the ones who changed the world. That's why we have the church, the family, and we're grounded on the one foundation of Jesus Christ, our Lord.